It's that time of year where I think we need to take a quick look at how the markets are faring and what's on the horizon. So I'm offering not one, but three short podcasts this week, each taking a view on what's driving the core shipping markets and where the opportunities and risks lie ahead. You can listen to Tankers and Containers, where you found this podcast, or via LloydsList.com. But this edition is going to unload the dry bulk sector for you. Now, the dry cargo market has had a pretty strong start to the year as more bulk carriers rerouted away from the Suez Canal, port congestion in China increased, and higher than expected Brazilian iron ore exports all pushed up ton-mile demand. And of course, the lowest level of bulk carrier fleet growth for almost a decade has also been a pretty significant contributing factor to tightening vessel supply, all of which is making for an interesting market right now for those in the dry bulk space. So here to discuss the dry cargo market prospects for the rest of the year and beyond is Lloyd's List very own markets editor Rob Wilmington, who is talking to BIMCO's chief shipping analyst Niels Rasmussen.
Hi, Niels. So just to start with, so we've noticed that the dry cargo markets appeared unseasonably strong in the first quarter, with freight rates far higher than we're expecting, and freight rates are still looking positive across most of the sectors. So we'd just like to ask you, how do you see prospects for the dry cargo markets for the remainder of this year and also going into 2025?
It's perhaps worthwhile just saying that there's been two main drivers for the stronger than expected start to the year. So one is volume, and that has kind of driven some. But then, of course, we have the longer sailing distances due to both Panama Canal, fewer transits there, and also the whole Red Sea, Suez Canal, and fewer transits of the Suez Canal. So that's driving up the average sailing distances. Now, on the Suez Canal front, we can't really guess exactly when that might return to normal. But if it doesn't this year, and perhaps only next year, then that will continue to drive some demand. On the Panama Canal front, that should normalize within the year. So whatever that has increased at the sailing distances by, that will be taken out. And volumes are only going to grow across the year, maximum 2%, both this and next year. And the fleet is in that same range. So a lot comes down to what happens to the sailing distances. If they remain long due to the Suez Canal, then the demand side is going to be stronger than the supply. But if it returns to normal fairly soon, then it's going to be the other way around.
You mentioned about the vessel supply side there. And when we look at the numbers, the new building order book looks remarkably low if you look sort of back into history books, especially in the large sizes like Cape size, mini Capes. Why do you think owners are so cautious about ordering new buildings, especially on the larger sizes?
I think probably two drivers mainly. And one is uncertainty about fuels. And that's both operationally, which is the right fuel to choose, but also commercially, to which extent will the market take a higher cost if I go for an alternative fuel? So I think that's one side. And the other side is, I believe that, yes, contracting has been very low, but recycling has also been very, very low. So if we look in the past 4 years, since 2019, then actually 85% of deliveries have gone to increase the fleet. So even though deliveries have been small, then the average fleet growth in the past few years have been 3.5% or thereabouts. And then the final thing for the major sizes is worries about coal, I think also. Where is that going to go? If you ask the International Energy Agency, coal has peaked, so that's going to start going downwards. Then there's also, I guess, questions about iron ore, given that we're not entirely sure how China is going to develop from now on. But at least it seems that we can't expect the same growth rates as we have for the past 10 to 15 years, that we are getting into a scenario where the Chinese economy is growing slower and slower coming years.
So we're talking about China, which we obviously can't avoid given that how important it is on the dry cargo market. So we've seen a lot of noise, an increasing amount of noise from Western politicians, particularly in the US and now more so from the EU, about unfair trade practices by China. How do you think more restrictions, which could well be coming sooner rather than later, have an effect on dry cargo markets?
Personally, I doubt that the European side is going to necessarily have a whole lot of impact, because there's not that much of a bulk trade between the two regions anyway. But if you look at the US and China, then we can go back in time a few years back when Mr. Trump was also president. And we saw the whole trade shift from soybeans out of the US shifting to Brazil, to China instead. So what actually offhand should have been bad for trade, because extra restrictions, extra tariffs, et cetera, should be bad for trade, it actually turned out that the soybeans needed to travel longer, and therefore it was actually a net upside.
The maritime industry is facing a pivotal challenge: decarbonising the existing fleet. To address this, Lloyd's Register has been evaluating what this means for shipping stakeholders. Lloyd's Register's Engine Retrofit Report provides a comprehensive overview of fleet and technology readiness to transition to alternative fuels, including methanol and ammonia. This report considers the primary regulatory drivers, shipyard retrofit capacity and capability, as well as the importance of human factors and training. You can download the report at www.lr.org/err.
We talked about the Suez Canal earlier, and we've noticed that some of the liner companies are pointing to the fact that nothing is going to change this year, and they expect their markets to stay very positive. Obviously, we have no idea when the Suez Canal is going to return to normality. But when it does, what do you think the impact will be on the dry cargo markets?
I mean, it's a little bit of a funny one, because if you look at it on the face of it, then only 5 to 6% of dry bulk volumes actually go through trades that transit the Suez Canal. And yeah, okay, so the average sailing distance has gone up by 10%, but it's only on 5% of the cargo. So net, it's only a 0.5% ton mile increase from this change. And still, we've seen, a relative to that, quite an outsized impact on freight rate levels, right? So the question is, are we going to see the same outsized impact the other way when we go back, or is it more going to be in relationship to it's fairly small volumes, it's not a whole big impact on ton miles? But I guess the natural answer would be we are going to see the same downwards impact as we saw the upside.
Interestingly, when we've spoken to ship owners that are, they have a mixed fleet of some of bulk carriers and tankers, even container ships, and some of them that we speak to have said they're sort of betting on a much more positive dry cargo side than they are on the tanker side. Do you think maybe they've perhaps got that wrong?
I wouldn't say they've got it wrong. I would say that's not what we predict. We could equally be wrong, of course. So given that we're trying to predict something, it's a little bit too soon to say who's right or who's wrong. But we're certainly more worried about the demand side on the bulk, simply because so much is tied to China. I mean, we're talking upwards of 2/3 of cargo volumes going to China. We are seeing iron ore is so huge. Coal is the second biggest. I think it's unlikely that China is going to grow in coal this year. We have India that, despite actually having a mandate to import more, at the same time is also mining for more. So how long is that it's going to last that they continue to import more? Is uncertain. So with those two major commodities being, I guess, question marks in two of the main markets. I guess that's the reason why we are somewhat uncertain on the cargo volume side.
Going back to the vessel supply side and the fleet itself, we've seen secondhand bulk carrier values rising quite significantly so far this year. So Cape size is up by 40%. Panamax is up to about 15%. Do you think this is a sustainable market in terms of the high prices?
I think that probably there's two answers to that. In the long run, it I don't think it's sustainable. We are having Cape sizes, 5-year-old Cape sizes trading at a value that is equal to 90% of a new building. And long term, that's not really sustainable. The other sectors are even up towards 95% of a new building price, and in the long run, that's not sustainable. But then on the flip side, you have what has turned out to be very unseasonably strong market. You have a relatively small order book, so people are or owners are restricting themselves from contracting, and that might push them into the secondhand market. And we've seen very, very strong sales and purchase volumes here in the first quarter. So I would say longer term, I don't think it's sustainable. In the shorter term, it's essentially following the freight and the time charter markets upwards, and that's what it normally does. But it's just that it's kind of hit a level that shouldn't be sustainable in the long run.
We talked about the caution of ordering alternative fuel new buildings. We've seen some more sort of enlightened, if you will, owners ordering alternative fuel Cape sizes, even some Kamsarmaxes, but it's a very small number if you compare it to the liner or even the tanker side now. What's your thoughts on the alternative fuels side?
I mean, I think it would have to change reasonably soon, given the targets that exist both within the IMO and the EU in terms of percentage of alternative fuel being used in the fleet. So I think it eventually has to change. I think still there's going to be reluctance and hope. And I mean, one thing that could kind of open, I wouldn't say the floodgates, but at least drive some extra contracting could be if the IMO finds a solution to this, depending on who you ask. They call it different thing, but a market-based measure or a tax or add-on for carbon fuels that would make alternative fuels more competitive. And I think that would make it easier for people to see that there is a future.
Okay, well, that is where we're going to leave the dry bulk outlook. But as I mentioned at the start, there are two more editions of this mini markets outlook series for you to feast your ears on this week. For containers, our box editor James Baker talks to Zanita's Peter Sand, and for a view on tankers, I sat down with BRS research chief Andrew Wilson. You can find those editions where you found this one, or head directly to loyslist.com. Thank you for listening.